From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show. This looks like a job for me, so
everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy. My next guest, I first read in the 90s. Way back then, boy, oh boy. You could see his writings. They've been everywhere. He's written 10 books. Some of the greatest titles in books, as far as I'm concerned. Public Policy Hooligan, Tension Deficit Democracy, The Bush Betrayal, Lost Rights, The Destruction of American Liberty. He's been in the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, but my favorite, back when you didn't have to question what a woman was, because we had Playboy. Oh, the good old days. I love Playboy. In the meantime, he's watching this comedy show, and I'm curious to know his thoughts. His name is Jim Bovar. Jim, how are you?
Doing fine, Sean. Thanks for having me back on the show.
You know, when I watched this meeting at Davos, headed up by the son of a Nazi named Eugen Schwab and his son Klaus, with the accents and whatnot, I'm deciding, is God going to have the sense of humor of Mel Brooks, or is it strictly going to be Don Rickles, who looks like Charlton Heston? What do you think?
Well, that's a question. I don't know. I didn't think of Charlton Heston and that World Economic Forum Klaus guy. I mean, he seems more like a, I'm trying so hard to be polite. It's a struggle.
It's a struggle. He's the son of a Nazi. But in the meantime, I haven't seen so many gangsters in one place since the Appalachian meeting in the 50s. Why was the FBI there?
The thing I'm curious about is whether the FBI chief Ray took his private jet to Davos, like so many people who were there to save the Earth.
He has to fly private. I saw it on a Senate hearing. He has to fly private. He's one of our gods. But in the meantime, there were 1,054 private jets.
Yeah, that's a lot of private jets. I mean, it's probably more jets than they have for the Super Bowl. I don't know why Ray was there, but he was put on a pedestal, and it's a testament on audience of how much BS that they put up with from the platform. And folks didn't hoot and holler when Christopher Ray said the FBI was good guys. It's like, okay, well, you know, if that's your standard, then that's guilt by association.
One of the things that I find infuriating is that this country is born of the Enlightenment, which is a direct result of feudalism. Yet we are reverting back to feudalism as we allow these European oligarchs to create, craft, implement our policy here in this country. How in the world are American politicians, from Illinois' very own fat slob governor all the way up to bureaucrats like Ray, how are they allowed to go to this Fourth Reich meeting and come back and implement this fascism on us?
That's a rhetorical question, right?
Half-assed it is, because the reality is this is what we're living under, and these are the policies that these Democrats and Republicans are implementing on us. And
yeah,
you know, it was your book, the Bush Betrayal. You're 100% right. There's a lot of Republicans in on this scam too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it would not be so powerful if it wasn't shared by both parties. It's interesting to see how the media covered that World Economic Forum. You had this panel on in favor of censorship. It was called Fighting Against Disinformation. But one Pandora's box after another being opened of horrible ideas. And this World Economic Forum was one of the main sources of horrible ideas for to deal with the pandemic, with the lockdowns, the vaccine mandates and stuff like that. And these World Economic Forum people are still whooping up something called the Great Reset, which is basically means presuming that politicians are benevolent dictators, who we should all bow to.
You know, Jim, your gift is that you write and articulate not just what is in current events, but you're able to do that and attach it to the principles of Americanism. When you see exactly how this is unfolding and exactly
who was in the office, Dementia Face Joe, and his history, his lineage. And you remember the 80s when he was laughed off stage for being more than just a plagiarist, but an idiot. And now we know that he is the plagiarist, the idiot, but he's also an asset of enemies, foreign and domestic, as he has been bribed by every beneficiary of these policies that are at the same time hamstringing America. And when you look at this objectively and you see this in front of you, this is the story of not just the American collapse, but of the bastardization of our enlightenment, of our principles. And it's what he's been paid to do, as every policy makes us weaker and his paymasters stronger, who are also our enemies. How can this go on much longer?
I'm hoping that one of the bright sides of the classified document scandal will be that it may pry open, it may break the firewall into looking at some of the connection between the Biden family and some of their foreign, donors, foreign people that have money on Hunter Biden, on Biden's brother, and indirectly on Biden himself, because there's a huge number of questions there, and these might be ticking time bombs. I don't know, but it's amazing how the team Biden and their media allies have managed to brick wall that story from catching fire. But maybe this will be the spark that gets it going.
Is there a scandal anymore that's big enough to change the trajectory of a government that has become a weapon of the people who don't want to work, the lowest form among us? I mean, this is what we're really living through, is the excuses why the producers and the decent people must be the victims of the perpetrators of government supremacy. Is there a scandal big enough to take this down? Or have we all gotten used to the kind of corruption that is obvious every time he opens his mouth?
Well, it's appalling how docile so many people have become. However, I think that there could be scandals that would finally waken up enough people that force some change. I mean, hope lives eternal, but there are a number of tripwires in this classified document scandal that could just blow Biden out of the water, or it's possible that he'll skate. At this point, I'm not betting either way.
When I look at what's going on, I'm very opinionated, as you can tell, or I wouldn't have a show. But when I look at what's going on in Ukraine, as week after week, there is another government bureaucrat who seems to be escaping with suitcases full of our money. You look at the history of Ukraine, and then you look at the history of the Soviet Union. Could this not be a planned problem that weakens simultaneously America's military and its treasure, as Ukraine and Russia have not only been embroiled in this kind of angst for hundreds and hundreds of years, but are really run by open and notorious corrupt oligarchs, and they're all in government, and we're funding them?
Yeah, I can see why people would reach that conclusion, because if you look, it's interesting. I was doing some stories back in 2019 during the first Trump impeachment scandal, and I was pointing out that people were upset that Trump talked about corruption in Ukraine. The U.S. State Department had been funding programs to curb corruption in Ukraine since the 1990s. They were a complete failure, and you end up just with more and more corruption. And what people don't realize is that this is a country that had massive depopulation even before Russia wrongfully invaded Ukraine.
Yeah, they were in a civil war.
Well, yeah, and there was like 20 or 25% of the population left after the end of the Soviet Union. I mean, folks were jumping out of that country every chance that they could get. And it's puzzling to me that people would set it up as a model democracy that we've got to pay any price to prop up, because if you look at what the president of Ukraine is doing, he suppressed the Orthodox Church, suppressed political opposition, he suppressed free press, and yet there is this halo called democracy floating over his head that makes it worth any price to defend. And I just don't see how America has any interest in an unlimited and endless war in Eastern Europe.
I don't think the American people are truly behind this. I think they're privy and they're obvious. And I mean, I think that they've just been neutered, that there is no more of a representative republic. As you see this team duopoly control really policies. Do you think that as we now know, a SEAL was killed last week? We've had captives who are all mercenaries, but ex-soldiers. Do you think that maybe as the fact of a not just a proxy war, but America fighting World War III, and even so far as the information of us blowing up Nord Stream 2 and the rest of it, do you think that maybe there will be a pushback and that old anti-war movement will come back? As you see, now it's only represented in the Republican Party. Do you think the Democrat Party still has a faction that is anti-war?
There are certainly a lot of individual Democrats who are principled and, speaking out courageously. Very few of them are in Congress. But there are elements out there, and there are some good left-wing media folks on this. But it's part of the trouble is that the U.S. government is controlling the information on the Ukraine-Russia war. U.S. media, most of it's been like an echo of Biden talking points or what the Pentagon or CIA suggested them to write. And it's we have very poor information on how this war is going. It's a flashback to 1917, just prior to the U.S. intervention in the First World War. Something that happened was that the British had cut the telegraph cable to Europe, and so most of the information the U.S. was getting on World War One was coming via the British, and most of it was propaganda. And so at that point, the U.S. Government greatly underestimated how difficult it would be to intervene in the First World War, how much of a fight it would be. U.S. was eventually on the winning side, but horrendous poor information preceded the U.S. intervention in World War One, and I'm wondering if we're seeing a similar thing with the Ukraine.
You know, George Bush perpetrated a lot of wrongs, a tremendous amount, but he had to at least lie to do it. And he did lie. He lied repeatedly. He used the tragedy of September 11th in so many corrupt ways, but one of them was to implement a destruction of American privacy rights. Barack Obama, one of the first things he did was make it so that the American government could propagandize us and surveil us. Do you think that maybe people will be able to look back and see that the foreign policy of this country has done nothing for the world other than murder innocent people and create a money laundering scheme for governments, and that maybe through the vitriolic hatred for George W. Bush, some of it justified, we can look back at policies and wars that not only killed hundreds of thousands of innocent people, but really produced no benefit for America? Or will they successfully be propagandized the way Barack Obama envisioned?
I'm hoping at some point more of the truth will be coming out. As I've written about the secrecy scandals, U.S. government is classifying trillions of pages per year. And that's part of the reason why we have a little idea of what our foreign policy is in Syria or places like that, and in double deuces there in Ukraine. So yeah. I would bet that there are CIA analysts who have sent memos or emails or done white papers that said, look, this is very dangerous, it's imprudent, there's a lot of good reasons not to get further involved in this. The same thing happened with Vietnam in the early 1960s. There were some excellent CIA analysts that got buried and ignored. Instead, you had John F. Kennedy and then Johnson, having this so-called domino theory, which was always BS, but that was how they justified sending 500,000 troops there, over 50,000 who were killed.
Libya is an open-air slave market. Iraq, I remember during the early Bush years, we were supposed to have a commodity exchange there. I was at the time at the Mercantile Exchange. They were talking about buying seats and having an exchange, let alone Starbucks on every corner. Is there any update on how exactly is the quality of life in Baghdad? And has anyone ever seen a Joe Biden home in which his brother received a $1.5 billion contract to build? And are you worried that your research will be deemed classified and you will be in the Huskow once they do that?
Those are three separate questions. Things are bad in Baghdad, a hell of a lot worse than they were before George W. Bush invaded. Didn't know about that billion-dollar house, but as far as my research being classified, what the hell, I'm still here. And more importantly, I'm able to talk to you.
Jim Bolvar, I love having you on. I love your books that you have written. I love what you work on now. Please keep it up, and please make yourself available to me. And when you are in the, when we are in the same state, we are definitely having a cigar. Which one are you smoking tonight?
Something cheap.
Oh, come on. You come by me. We smoke good cigars. You only live once, brother. There's a difference between living and surviving. The government's going to take it away anyway. You might as well burn it up. Jim Bolvar, thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for your kind words.